Well, I want to welcome all of you, and I want to invite you to join me as we turn to 2 Kings chapter 20, 2 Kings chapter 20. For this reading, I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version, but for the study itself, we'll be looking at the New Living Translation. But out of the New King James Version, we're looking at 2 Kings 20, beginning in verse 12. At that time, Berodach, Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them. It showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all his armory. All that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah, the prophet, went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What do these men say? And from where did they come to you?" And so Hezekiah said, "They came from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" And so Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "Will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days?" Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. And Father, we thank you for your word and for this time that you have carved out in our schedule. You ordained for us to be here. Because you love us and you want to instruct us in the ways of righteousness. God, we are your children. We've been born again, and you've given us a whole new identity and a whole new purpose. And a part of that purpose is practicing righteousness. And so, God, and we thank you that you teach us how to live right. And so I pray that the things that we hear today, I pray your word as we hear it, and it's also working with your spirit that's present among us, would find that we are here to not only listen, but also to obey and to see and consider how your word applies to us, what things we need to do, what things we need to stop doing as a result of this time together, which is spiritual. We thank you for your presence among us, and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I titled this message, What's Really There? What's Really There? This is a message about the heart. What's really there? What's really in the heart? Have you ever been put in a situation where your heart was exposed? A situation where your heart was revealed, and maybe you were surprised by it. I've been in many situations like that, and I'm embarrassed to share the details. But there's been those times in my life when there are different things that I didn't realize, but a certain circumstance that God allowed brought out some ugly in my heart. That happens from time to time to God's people. There are times when God's people develop negative heart issues. Things like jealousy. Jealousy. Anger. Well, that makes me mad. You know those things. Critical spirit. Stubbornness. As Christians, we can at times learn, because God will reveal or expose our hearts to us. And we learn. There's been times where I thought, well, I thought I was past that. And this circumstance, this situation brought this out of my heart. God, sorry. God, forgive me. Because the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? Of course, only God does. God knows what's in there. And if there's anything in there, we might not even be aware. Remember what he said? Search me. Know my heart, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me. We don't even know, but God knows. And if there's anything in there, it's an inappropriate response, if you think about it, to God's kindness. Because God has been kind to all of us, and to have these types of heart issues, it's really an inappropriate response to the kindness of God. And if it's not dealt with, there can be lasting, damaging consequences, as we'll see in the life of Hezekiah. Because such was the case with King Hezekiah. He had developed a heart condition, a heart problem. It's hard to detect at first, but we'll see what the issue of his heart was and why he did what he did. And the beautiful thing about our Lord is that God loves us. God loved him too much to ignore it, to just let it go. And God brought it before him, or at least brought it out so it could be visible. And before us are the details. Now I'm going to be reading the New Living Translation. The first thing we're introduced to at this point of the chapter is the Babylonian envoy who came to visit King Hezekiah. And it tells us soon after this. Soon after what? Well, in our previous study, we learned how Hezekiah had become very, very ill, and he had a terminal illness. And through the prophet, God had spoke to King Hezekiah and said, "Hey, King Hezekiah, set your house in order because you are going to die." And Hezekiah, after hearing these things, I believe Hezekiah was 39 years old when he realized he was going to die. And he ended up dying at 54 because he had 15 more years granted to him. And he prayed, he asked God that God would heal him and grant him more time on the earth. And so God did. God granted him 15 more years. And so after this miracle that took place of healing, it tells us Merodach, Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, he had sent Hezekiah his best wishes, and he also blessed him with a gift. And the reason was is because he had heard that King Hezekiah had been very sick, and he must have learned about his recovery. And Hezekiah, he received the Babylonian envoys and showed them everything in his treasure houses, the silver, the gold, the spices, the aromatic oils. And then he took him to see his armory, and he showed him everything in his royal treasuries. And the text tells us there was nothing in his palace or kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. So he gets this first visit from the Babylonian king. It was a group of folks that went to kind of learn and how and what had happened and to present him with a present. And obviously this must have had been big news because so much was happening. God was fighting the Assyrians for King Hezekiah. The Assyrians, they were the superpower at that time, you could say, and they were wiping every other nation out and taking them captives. And they had their sights on King Hezekiah. And King Hezekiah was godly. And he cried out to the Lord. He was humble and he cried out to God, and God delivered him. Then he got sick. He was going to die. And then God healed him, and news spreads, right? News spreads, right? And so they wanted to come and see. And now after that visit, King Hezekiah gets another visit. He gets a visit from the prophet Isaiah, who was the prophet during that period of time. And this account is talked about in 2 Chronicles, and also you see him mentioned in the book of Isaiah, and these details are very similar in the book of Isaiah. And so Isaiah, who is the man of God during that time frame, he is the prophet. He is one who God raised up to minister to the people. He wasn't just anybody. He was a representative of God, and he was speaking to a king who was godly. And so he comes and he starts questioning. And he asked the king, he says, "What did those men want? Where were they from?" And Hezekiah replied, "They came from the distant land of Babylon." I wonder if Hezekiah felt at that moment, maybe I did something wrong. Well, if he didn't feel it then, I hope with this question he might have felt like, well, maybe I didn't do what I should have done. In verse 15, the prophet says, "What did they see in your palace?" I wonder if his body started to feel a little warm. You know that feeling? I tell you, when I'm questioned, I have a hard time when I'm questioned. I don't know if you're the same way, but I'll tell you, I'm not going to go anytime soon because I think it's dangerous. But when I go over the border to Canada, I think it's dangerous now. You know, every time when I come back, I don't know what it is, but when they start asking questions, I just start getting so nervous. And I guess it's because it's authority. And I was brought up, and as a Christian, when there's people of authority, there's a certain sense of respect. And I forget where I come from. I forget, you know, my name, who I'm with. And my wife said, "I don't know why you get so nervous. I mean, you know where you live." Well, I don't know what he was feeling. But one thing I have to say is I appreciated his honesty. Maybe he was starting to feel, maybe I'm being questioned. I mean, the prophet just came and visited, and he's asking these questions, and then he's asking, what did I show him? And I think this is the right thing to do whenever we're questioned by authority. The best thing to do is to be honest. It's in our nature to try to protect ourselves and try to, you know, make ourselves look good. That's a part of our nature. But usually that doesn't communicate well. Usually when people try to hide or cover up and aren't honest, usually the truth comes out, right? Usually the truth comes out. And then when the truth comes out, if a person's not honest, then it puts a little bit of a, you know, But I appreciate that at least he was honest. And this is what we should be. When we're questioned, we should be honest, especially with those that God uses that are not just anybody, but a leader, somebody that, you know, is representing him. Of course, if people are doing right, because there's some hoods in the brotherhood, you know, you got to be leery of. But when they're honest, good, godly individuals, then the best thing to do and the right thing to do is be honest. And so at least he was honest. I give him that. He says, they saw everything. I showed him everything. He says, I showed him everything I owned, all my royal treasuries. And so he now gets, you could say, a visit, or really a message from the Lord. You know, the envoy comes to visit, the prophet comes to visit. Hey, can I have one too? You got one for everybody? No, just kidding. How do you feel right now? You feel a little warm inside? Those are just questions, be honest. That's a visual. What was that?
I don't know where I am.
Okay. You're like me. All right, brother, I like that. Yeah, we can relate. We have to have fun. We're in God's house, God's people. I have to imagine there's times where Jesus and the apostles just laugh together. There had to be. I know he was a man of sorrows, but there had to be times where they just laugh together. I'm sure after Jesus rescued Peter when he was sinking and they all got to the other side, that was probably funny. Peter, you should have seen your face. Lord, help! You're crying like a baby. I just have to think that stuff like that happened. Well, now the Lord's message comes. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, listen to this message from the Lord. The time is coming when everything in your palace, all the treasures stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. I think at this time Hezekiah is starting to feel, I did something I shouldn't have done. And I don't think he even realized it. And there's a reason why. There's a reason why he was out of touch and he wasn't discerning anymore. In verse 18, it says, some of your very own sons will be taken away into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace, who will serve in the palace of the Babylonian's king. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, listen to this response. This message you have given me from the Lord is good. For the king was thinking, I like the way the New Living Translation puts it, at least there will be peace and security during my lifetime. Wow. What happens to a godly individual that they get to this point? Hezekiah still was a godly individual. And he still was a believer. He was, but he got off course. Within those 15 years, he got off course. Something went sour. And it was a heart issue. Now, why was the Lord's message to Hezekiah so grim? Well, we get a few clues in verses 15 and 19 where he says in verse 15 to the answer of Hezekiah or Isaiah's question, what did they see in your palace? Well, they saw everything, Hezekiah replied. Listen to this. I showed them everything I own. All my royal treasuries. That's a clue. And then also look at this, verse 19. This message you have given me from the Lord is good. At least there will be peace and security during my lifetime. That's another clue. Something's not right here. And without realizing it, just like Hezekiah did, people will reveal where their heart truly is by their words. Sometimes people don't even realize when they're talking, when they're being questioned, and when they're talking, they reveal little things. And that's more truer than the narrative they're trying to get you to believe. You ever experienced that? Where you hear what somebody says and you think to yourself, they just revealed something there. They're revealing their heart. I don't think he realized it, but he was revealing his heart. What was in his heart? And without Hezekiah revealing or realizing it, his words kind of showed him where he was really at. Well, let's consider his words a little bit more carefully. He says, I showed them everything I own, all my royal treasuries. One thing we don't hear in that whole account, in that whole visit, we don't hear a Hezekiah saying, hey, I just want to tell you up front, everything that I am, everything that I have, it's all because of God. We don't hear that. Because we were going to be wiped out. The Assyrians were coming. I had no power or strength in myself, my military power, nothing. We were dead. We were done. And I cried out to God. And God heard my cry. And he fought my battle. You don't hear no testimony, no giving God any glory. I was literally going to die. Put the war aside. I had a fatal illness. You came to see me after I've recovered. I had a fatal illness. I was going to die. God told me, get your house in order. And I pleaded with the Lord, Lord, don't take me yet. I'm not ready. And he had mercy on me. And he gave me 15 more years. And I give God the glory for all he has done for me. Without him, I am nothing and I would have nothing. And I want to tell you that the God of Israel, Babylonians, the God of Israel is the true and living God. And as far as showing you everything I have, thank you for the gift. I'm going to be kind, but I ain't showing you. That's what he should have been thinking. I don't know these people. I don't know these people. I'm not just going to be trusting. But it seemed like the text tells us he was attentive to them. Something had happened that got him to a point where it seemed like he wanted to just promote himself. That's a sad thing when God's children take God for granted, all the blessings of God, and then want to promote themselves. I mean, it's in us all, isn't it? The capability's there, and we've got to fight against that. The Lord blessed Hezekiah abundantly. It was because of God he had great success. It was because of God he had great wealth. What an opportunity this was for Hezekiah to witness to these foreign people inquiring. I mean, what an opportunity. And he missed it. Now, what we see is a sad thing, and that is over time, the king's heart got out of tune with God, and he developed this heart issue. It wasn't right. Even though he said things that sounded right, for example, this message you have given me from the Lord is good. I mean, that sounds humble, doesn't it? It's like, this is good. What God says, this is good. But I say, is it good? I mean, let's listen to this message again. The time is coming when everything in your palace, all the treasures stored up by your ancestors until now, will be carried off to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Is that good? Some of your very own sons will be taken away into exile. They will become eunuchs who will serve in the palace of Babylon's king. Is that good? I mean, I think this was a great opportunity instead of saying, oh, the message is good. It would have been a great opportunity for him to say, I'm sorry. He didn't have a problem getting prostrate before God, just throwing himself down and spreading the letters and praying at different circumstances. This would have been a good time hearing all this bad news. This was not good news. Maybe he's saying, well, you know, on the surface, well, what the Lord is saying, that's the right thing for him to do. So there was what it seems like, and the Bible does tell us there was some humbling and some repentance, so we don't want to take that away from him. I'll show you in a minute where it says that. But it doesn't seem like it was a complete humbling and complete repentance. You know, his words, this is revealing when it says in verse 19, at least there will be peace and security during my lifetime. Wow. Talk about self-centered. When God graciously extended Hezekiah's life by 15 years, it should have been a time for the king to reflect on God's mercy and continued in humility. But that's not what happened. As time passed, Hezekiah, would it seems, began to feel a sense of entitlement, forgetting that his life and his success were all as a result of God's kindness. And the thing is that the shift from humility, which he was prior to that 15-year extension, seemed like he was more humble. But the shift from humility to self-centeredness, the thing is it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. And it seems like the more Hezekiah felt secure in his prosperity, his successes, the more self-centered he became, losing sight of where it all came from. The question is, what was the root of his self-centeredness? Some of you probably already know. And for that, we have to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. So why don't we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. We're going to look at verses 24 through 31. It's important to understand that verses 24 and 26, or 24, 25, and 26, this just gives us an overview of what happened. It's important to understand that. And then verses 27 through 31 gives us the details of what happened. So make sure you keep that in mind. In verse 24, here's the overview of what happened. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. He prayed to the Lord, who healed him and gave him a miraculous sign. But listen to this. But Hezekiah did not respond appropriately to the kindness shown him, and he became what? Proud. That was the root of this entitlement. It was the root of the self-centeredness. Those were all the symptoms, the visible things. Amen. The lack of discernment. He wasn't discerning when they came. He wasn't discerning. And so, all those symptoms, but at the root, at the core, was because he didn't act or respond appropriately to the kindness of God. And he became proud. So the Lord's anger came against him and against Judah and Jerusalem. Wow. How somebody's pride can have some real consequences with so many other people. And then Hezekiah humbled himself and repented of his pride, as did the people of Jerusalem. So the Lord's anger did not fall on them during Hezekiah's lifetime. So this is the overview. Now here are the details. Hezekiah was very wealthy and highly honored. So over time, you know, he recovered the Assyrian army. God destroyed them. He was going to die. And then God gave him life. And then he starts to develop and really grow wealthy. And then he starts to be respected by a lot of people. People start honoring him, looking up to him. And probably, hey, Hezekiah, what should I do in this? And seeking him for advice. And maybe just say, oh, wow, you know, the things that you're able to do, just, you know, puffing him up. And not on purpose, it's just happening. But he let it. He had a choice. He had a choice. He could have kept it in perspective, but he didn't. He let it get to his head, and it affected his heart. It tells us he built special treasury buildings for his silver, gold, precious stones, and spices, and for his shield and other valuable items. He also constructed many storehouses for his grain, new wine, and olive oil. And he made many stalls for his cattle and pens for his flocks of sheep and goats. He built many towns and acquired vast flocks and herds. Why? This all he did because God had given him great wealth. He lost sight of the source of his provision. He blocked up the upper springs of Gihon and brought the water down through a tunnel to the west side of the city of David. And so he succeeded in everything he did. Man, it's got to be a very tough thing to be successful in everything you do. You know, I've warned, or I've not warned, but I've had conversations with, Tony, we've had conversations here. It's like, you know, now that God has established this church, this conversation happened a few years ago, and things are settled and there's success. These are the most dangerous years. These are the most dangerous years for me personally, for us as leaders. You get a name, God's using you, things are going well, people are getting saved, lives are being restored, people are growing. These are dangerous times, they could be for leaders, if we don't keep things in proper perspective. And remember, who did all this? God's done this. Jesus has done all this. So this is what happened. He didn't keep himself in check. Hezekiah's success was a gift of grace from God, but over time he allowed it to become his downfall, and his heart moved from humility into pride. And then verse 31, it tells us, however, when ambassadors arrived from Babylon to ask about the remarkable events that had taken place in the land. Notice this. God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. Now back in 2 Kings 20:20, the rest of the events in Hezekiah's reign, including the extent of his power and how he built a pool and dug a tunnel to bring water into the city, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. Hezekiah died, and his son Manasseh became the next king. Now, Hezekiah leaves us with some things. I wanted to finish reading the chapter, and I also want to go back to that statement, God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. What is that about? Well, have you ever heard of anthropomorphic language? No. Neither did I. I heard this maybe, I don't know, a decade ago or so. Anthropomorphic is when humans are trying to describe the divine. And humans put the divine in their own terms as they understand. So it's kind of like, for example, you might test the child. You may say, hey, I want you to stay near me when we're in a grocery store or a department store. And you say, pay attention to where I am and where I'm walking and follow me, stay close. And then you see your child kind of drifting. And so you test them. You put them to a test and you kind of withdraw yourself and you wait for them to realize that you're not there. And then when it hits them, you're not there, although you are and you could see them, but they can't see you because you're hiding. You withdrew. And they say, Dad! 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 They start, I'm right here. I'll never do that again. I'm so sorry you told me to pay attention and I wasn't paying. That might not be the greatest story or analogy, but it helps get the point. So when God withdraws himself, basically what he's saying is God didn't intervene. God just allowed Hezekiah, because God knows the heart. And God already knew what was going on in Hezekiah's heart. And God was the one that was giving him his successes. And so God just withdrew and says, you know what? Your heart's gotten filled with pride. So I'm going to let you take care of this. And I'm going to reveal. Your heart is going to be revealed to you, Hezekiah. Do you think God didn't know? Of course God knew. So Hezekiah didn't realize how prideful he was. And so God was allowing this circumstance. He was just testing. He was testing Hezekiah so Hezekiah, it could be revealed what was in his heart. And we all know now. So when we go to heaven, we see Hezekiah and we say, Hezekiah. And then he's going to say, David, I say, okay, mum's the word. We've been forgiven. And he's taken it as far as the east is from the west. But I just want to say thank you for teaching me a valuable lesson, because we learn what not to do through people like Hezekiah. We see the good, we see the bad. So what are some takeaways? Well, how do you recognize a heart issue? Before God puts us to the test, it's always better if we see it ourselves instead of God exposing it. It's always better. In Hezekiah's story, the heart issue was pride. That was at the root of the heart, but there were some symptoms. There were things that were starting to be seen in his character. There was a lack of discernment. When they came, he didn't have enough foresight to see, these people are probably going to be enemies. Who knows what their potential, I don't know them. Why am I going to show them everything? So they could come back someday and take advantage? No, I'm going to be diplomatic, but I'm going to use discernment. He lost that because pride causes you to be cloudy. You can't see things straight. But not only was that he loses discernment, there was also a sense of entitlement. It's like he forgot where everything came from. He thought he was somebody. And he was more showing off himself than he was showing off the God who made him who he is. Another symptom was self-centeredness. I mean, after hearing my kids are going to be eunuchs or my descendants, they're going to cut off. I mean, well, at least that's not going to happen in my lifetime. I mean, what? Where are you? Where are you, brother? Don't you care about your family? Don't you care about your nation? Don't you care about other people? Are you that self-centered? He was. Now, these are all symptoms. Now, you know, this is true too. And it's good to monitor yourself. Sometimes we got to check our own hearts. We got to check ourselves. Because there are certain symptoms. There are certain things that might come out. We might say, and then you got to think, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said, that's because there's pride in my heart. Oh God, forgive me. Why did I do that? Deep down inside, it's because I want people to recognize me. God, change me. God, it's better to be seeing what's happening and examining ourselves. It's better to do that than to keep just ignoring issues, and then we become blinded. And then God's got to step in. Another thing, as far as a takeaway, is our actions and our words reveal more than we realize. That's why it's always best just to be honest. Even if it's an uncomfortable situation, even if it's difficult, it's best to just be honest and don't try to protect yourself, because the truth ends up coming out. And if you're trying to paint a narrative that is not consistent with what's really going on in your heart or in your life, and once that comes out, that puts a little bit of a, can't really trust you, not sure about you. So we got to ask ourselves, are our actions and words revealing that what we are walking in, rather, humility or pride? Discernment or a little risky? Taking risks and stepping out of boundaries with God like he did. Well, look at everything. Look at all that I've done, all that I own, all my wealth. Look at what I've done. That's definitely crossing lines for believers. You don't expect the unbeliever to. But it's really sad when you do see some unbelievers that are more honest, more humble than believers. Are we walking in entitlement or gratitude? Self-centeredness or being considerate and thinking of consequences in long term? You know, self-examination from time to time is a needful thing. The last thing, and then we'll pray, God allows testing, and he does it to reveal our true character to ourselves. Sometimes, because we aren't doing our own self-examination, God puts us to tests. Just so we can see, so it can come, and we got to confront ourselves. God knows what's really there. He knows what's really in the heart. And when we can't see a heart issue for ourselves, he will challenge us with something that exposes our hearts, revealing what we truly think or feel, revealing what's really in our hearts. And we know that God always does this. Why? Of course, he loves us, but to get us back on track. In times when God makes us aware of a negative heart issue, the best response is to humble ourselves immediately and repent completely. And I'll leave you with this. Remember the words of James. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. If you have an issue in your heart, jealousy, pride, entitlement, you feel comfortable to cross boundaries, now's the time to humble yourself and just say, God, forgive me. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and for this time together. We pray, Lord, that you continue to pour out your blessings over our time of worshiping you and our fellowship. We give you all glory and honor, and we thank you for your word that's so practical, so helpful to us. And I pray, God, that if this word applies to us, that we would respond appropriately to your kindness. Or maybe it's not us, but there will be someone tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, that we can pass on these lessons that we've learned from Hezekiah's life. We thank you for your grace and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.